Hey, what's happening? Can you guys
Blog
hear me?
Talk Radio.
Yo.
What's up, big dog?
What's going on?
Sweet Jesus, I hit the right button.
I wasn't sure if you were muted or not. I wasn't hearing anything.
I was just hitting buttons, man. I can't even lie, man. You know? But, hey, all's well that ends well. Thanks for calling in. What a
Absolutely.
Great show you did tonight, man. Can everybody hear okay?
I hear you just fine. Thanks, everyone. Everyone made it a good show. We had a great guest list lined up, and they have a lot of really good stuff out there. So I was happy to help them out and help them get the word out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a lot of fun. The actual music that you showcased was really, really good, man. And I thought you ordered it well, from Snack Pack at the beginning, to Jay Vab at the end. Well done, brother. Well done. That was good shit. A lot of friends in here, which is really, I'm a little humbled, also really happy. Sound is good, and any post show thoughts on your mind? There was some pretty fun stuff going on with Yan. It seemed like in the chat room, it seemed like it was being passed around like a $50 whore.
Yeah, you'll have that.
I applaud that.
There was like four different leaders of Anonymous tonight.
Yeah. I think I don't know if anybody was on Rebel's timeline last night. Most likely, I'm sure all of you guys were. There was a little episode there with the ops guy, I found the dynamic interesting. That dude was so quick to become adversarial and lose sight of what he was doing. How to articulate this properly is tough. I think the only way I can do it is to say that whatever it is that's going on, it's not, it's equal parts math and poetry. This is a left brain, right brain endeavor, whatever the endeavor may be. The equilibrium has to be maintained, and for you guys to maintain it with such nuance is excellent. It was fun, and it's interesting for me because in a lot of ways, and if anybody wants to call in and talk about this, I sometimes feel conflicted because I see the value. Let me restart. I got an interesting DM from somebody this afternoon that said, you can't support both sides. It puzzled me because I thought that this is all one side if there are two sides. It sort of illustrated the functional state of any movement that existed when you guys were back in the day. I know Porno Pup is hoping to have some old fags on Saturday during the the Revolution Radio Marathon. I can think about is the Nutty Professor, the original one. What's his name? Jerry did the muscular dystrophy thing forever. Whenever I hear telephone.
I know what you're talking about. The Jerry's kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Forget his name.
Really funny movies back in his heyday. I think he hit the sauce pretty hard, though.
Is it Jerry Lee Lewis? Something like that?
Yeah, yeah. Or not Jerry Lee Lewis. He was a musician, right, who was married to his cousin. Come on. Somebody put it in the chat room. My God, Jerry. Anyway, I digress. And but back to what I was saying about about. Oh, and by the way, this is complete sort of free flowing consciousness. Feel free to log off. But I don't know. I forget what I was saying. Rebel, help me out here. What direction are we going?
Niggers.
Okay, that is always a controversial subject, and also spurns me to give some praise to Mr. NC tonight. I thought he repped strong on the show. Jerry Garcia, X out. I love you. Not him, though.
NC did a great job tonight, and he dropped so many good tracks, and he doesn't discriminate when he goes after, man. He goes after whoever he wants to go after. He's BTR gold, I call him. Every time he comes on the soundboard, I'm like, all right, it's about to get good.
He's got a thing going, man. Like, he's good. He's really good at that. It's going to be a tough act to take on the road or in public. But you know what? For the internet, it's fucking gold. I love it. All right, let's take a quick break. Listen to a little music, a little pop music, and I'll gather my thoughts and have a beer, and we'll come back. And I love you guys all. It's good shit. Peace.
Wait till you're announced. We've not yet lost all our graces. The hounds will stay in chains. Look upon your greatness as you'll send the call out, 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 send.
right. We're back live. Can everybody hear me? I appreciate your patience. Rebel, you still there? Everybody should be live on the board.
Tab.
Everybody, anybody else there?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Oh, did you hear me?
Yeah. What's happening, brother? What's going on?
Oh,
how are you today?
It's Canadian Glenn. How's it going, man?
The leader of Anonymous is with us.
Glenn. What an awesome surprise. How are you, man?
Well, I'm all right. Yeah, the studio is a lot of fun your first time, eh?
Yeah, it is. It is. A lot of well, not too many, but yeah, it's a trip. I'm a little overwhelmed, but at the same time having a good time. How are things in your neck of the woods?
Still cold, still snowing, still windy. You know, they're having Winter Olympics and it's like plus 16 Celsius and there are people swimming at the beach. And we're sitting over here in the real winter watching it. It's kind of a ripoff.
I hear you. You sound like you're over winter.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, winter's 6 months up here. I mean, we're stuck with it. You get winter for 6 months, and then you get brown grass, you know, then you get brown grass for 2 months. And then it's nice for about 3 weeks, and then the leaves fall off, and you start all over.
I hear you. I'm essentially due east of you. You might have a few degrees north of me, but the same winter experience here. You know, it's a drag, man. But at the same time, it makes the spring that much sweeter. So I tried to live in the no-season zone in Miami. Well, I didn't try. I lived there for like 7 years. It's very disconcerting if you're used to season to not have season. But at the same token, yeah, man, the cold, the ice, it's been a rough winter. But onward, forward, what about Sabbath?
No, I'm looking forward to it here. I mean, I'm looking at, I think, about 9 weeks now. You said you got some tickets?
Yeah, there was like 73 nosebleed seats left. The last show that was on Revolution Radio. It was Pup's show, I think. And he blasted Sabbath, and you were like, I'm going. I checked on the ticket thing. And I bought 2 tickets. I don't know if I'll be working or not, but I'll tell you, I'm going to try to make it out to be a hoot. If I do, we'll have a beverage.
Oh, for sure, that'd be awesome. I've got my bestie from Lethbridge coming up to see the show.
Awesome. Yeah, that would be great. You know, the connection thing. This is what it's all about for me on here. Making connections, and I don't know, I think that's a big part of what life is, so that's good shit, and I see a lot of, like, connections being made in this little niche of the cybersphere, you know, Rebel Show tonight, that's like a super cool thing to do, you know, from Snack Pack, you know, to NC, and to JMAB, you know, to promote, you know, the people you believe in. That's a good thing. I enjoyed that particularly well. So what's going on right now with Yan? I'm beyond being on Twitter and doing this. So are you doing anything, like, funny?
Oh, no. I got nothing to do with what happened with the redirect tonight or none of that. But
you're
currently
the leader of Anonymous.
Us here at EAN are serious business. We do not troll, and we do not get lols. This is straight serious business.
That's what happened. See, Rebel made me the leader of Anonymous, and I'm pretty much known as a moral fag. So there's going to be a decree coming out shortly. It will DDoS everybody. It'll be a LOIC decree, and it'll say that LOLs are now outlawed because, you know, Anonymous is serious business.
Oh, it is. So, like, the shit last night on Rebel's timeline was hilarity, dude. Oh, and by the way, champion troll of the day. If that was Nick Knack with that woman, that was fucking priceless, dude. Oh, my God.
Your Non-News has officially changed its Twitter account. If you look in your chat, you'll see that.
Your Non-News, eh?
Oh, speaking of love, is Spyco still on here? He was on here for a second. Dude, that guy rocked, man. Spyco is following, my wife is a principal of a school, which could be a good way segue into docs. If anybody ever wants my docs, just give me a shout. My cell phone number is 802-881-1835. If you want my docs, give me a shout. Go crazy. That's what I have to say about doxing. But my original thought that led into that was
niggers.
Subliminal message was knickknack. From what I can surmise, has been. Let me redact. I don't know who, but somebody has been pursuing hilarity and hijinks against a very reactionary Canadian nationalist, which I actually didn't know existed. And man, you have to. Oh, goodness. It was hilarious. Sorry, I'm losing train of thought here. But
I'm a little confused here. Canadian nationalist. What exactly is that?
Well, I did follow that comment by saying I didn't know they existed, but this woman was reacting to whoever was trolling her with nothing else that I can describe as nationalism, like sort of like Canadian white pride and the native Canadians. Is that the politically correct term for?
Okay, First Nations peoples, yes.
First Nations people.
Look at me. I live in Canada, so I'm a First Nation person.
Well, I will.
Go ahead, bud.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, there is, like, the I Don't Know More movement has been around for over a year now, and I understand where they're coming from. I mean, the natives up here in Canada have been getting fucked over for an awfully long time. And the way all the things have changed in Canada in the last 2 years with this fascist government we have, the only people left in this country who has any say over the protection of their drinking water and the air they breathe are First Nations, because they have treaties with the Crown. Their deal is with, actually, the Queen of England. It's not with the Canadian government. So the government has taken away all those rights from all of us people outside the reserves. We can't say fuck all about our water or our air anymore, but they can. So they're the last ones left, and they're actually fighting for all of us, and they deserve support. And if they lose, if they get run over, then it's fucking over. This is nothing but a big tar sand mine and a clear-cut forest up here, and that'll be the end of it, you know?
And
so
by reserves,
they deserve support.
By reserves, he means concentration camps.
More or less.
Full disclosure, like, if you ever look at my Twitter line, I'm a huge moral fag. And, but I also, you know, but you can't take yourself too seriously. That's life. And what Idle No More is doing, yeah, it's more than just Canada. You know, there's been an indigenous movement building in South America, anywhere that multinational conglomerates are planning to build either pipelines or huge, these mega hydro dams, like in the Mekong Delta in China, in the Amazon Basin. You know, there are these pockets of rebellion that have popped up. And, yeah, they're all owned by China. Pups right on the money. I think that what Idle No More has done to a good degree of success has coalesced some of those pockets that otherwise would be more isolated, especially in the Amazon Basin. Belo Monte is a dam that's planned. It's actually in the process of being built by a Chinese, huge Chinese corporation. It will wipe out 60,000 independent tribes, which all consist of, upwards maybe 500 people, and displace them to Rio, to the favelas in Rio. I think Idle No More has been sort of a point that a lot of these different groups can sort of rally around. And fact of the matter is I support them wholeheartedly, in everything I can do. And Glenn, you're 100% right. Like, if they lose, Canada loses, and I think a lot more people lose, you know. It's interesting. I had a thought at a stoplight today, I was talking with Gonzo, PhD, about fracking a little bit. And, if you have kids, right, and you either are heavily invested and make a lot of money off of your normal gas companies that are now fully invested in tar sands extraction and dirty oil extraction, you're essentially forfeiting the future of your children. And I know it's a conceptual leap, but that is a form of child abuse. That's a leap. You know, I like to push things out to a poll. But there's absolutely no rational argument that could mathematically explain the rationale for the trade-off between pursuing these oil, pursuing these cheap or these dirty oil reserves, in the future.
Oh, sorry, I gotta interrupt you.
Who just made your
non-news, eh? Someone just made that account and followed me. I gotta follow him back.
Okay.
Someone actually made that account. Someone in the chat made that account. Fess up, goddammit.
What is the account? Yan A?
It's Your Non-News A, E-H. The Canadian.
Oh, hell yes. hoser.
Oh, yeah,
which
just followed me,
that?
Too.
Yolanda Smith. Oh, my God, that's pretty good.
Hey, Landy.
I will tell you this, though. Us here at Yan, we don't like to joke around, so you will very quickly receive a cease and desist from Susan Basco.
You did get my legal advice about that last night, didn't you?
I did. And
I think you're fully in the right to do that if what transpires does transpire. It's not all the time.
I can't talk any details right now, but this Saturday during the BTR Marathon, I will have a very large segment on Revolution Radio regarding everything that's going on.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Well, whatever does happen, man, I support you. I think it's fucking hilarity, and that's what we're here for. And then a little seriousness. You're a fantastic balance. Yeah, Basco, you know, she's an awful lawyer. Like, her legal record is appalling.
Careful, she'll have your show pulled.
I don't give a fuck, dude. I got lawyers, you know? It's like, she's been suspended twice. It's like that woman, man, you know, she raises my ire. My Jimmys don't get rustled that easily, but when somebody speaks with that sort of false authority and pretension, man, it fucking chaps my ass. And she stands on like that she barely fucking passed the bar, you know, four times. My God, it's not rocket science. Read the fucking law book.
Yeah, you don't have to be a rocket surgeon to pass that stuff, you know.
No, you don't even need to be a fucking physics surgeon to pass it. No, you really... Sorry, I got on a pedestal there for a moment, but I don't know. She has the ability to raise my blood pressure.
Well, there's so many different levels that falls under the term lawyer. I mean, for example, I'll use my trade. I'm an electrician. Now, somebody who changes light bulbs 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, for 20 years is called an electrician. Somebody who coordinates jobs, runs crews, signs payrolls, can pull permits, and is basically an engineer without a stamp, is also called an electrician. And the same thing exists with lawyers. So Sue Basco can change a mean light bulb.
That is a fantastic analogy. And, yeah, you're 100% right. But I tend to do on a tangent, like you're an electrician. We're heading towards a maker's society. I work with my hands. I'm a manual laborer. The title thing is bizarre in my field too, right? I call myself a cook. Some people call me a chef, you know. Then I jackasses on TV who call themselves chefs, you know. Same stuff, right? But you work with your hand. And this quasi-intellectual purely linguistic culture we live in, where people just have meetings and they talk about what they're going to do, and then they have another meeting and they talk more about what they're going to do. That's all going to end. We're going to live in a maker society. If you want to live a good life, you're going to have to know how to work with your hands. You're going to have to know how to fucking skin a goat. You're going to have to know how to plant a crop. You're going to have to know how to work a nice fucking $60,000 Kubota tractor. we're moving towards a maker society. This society that we're living in, all it does is it just perpetuates bureaucracy and committee, and that's just not sustainable. Sorry, whoever I interrupted, please go ahead.
Actually, before Glenn goes, Glenn, he's got a job, and he lives on his own. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, you're fired. You cannot be the leader of Anonymous. You have to be unemployed, and you need to live in your parents' basement in order to fill that position. I officially grant you asylum inside of Canada for the rest of your life, but unfortunately, I'm going to have to ask you to resign from Anonymous.
Well, I'm currently unemployed, but I only need...
Society, Glenn.
No, I'm only hitting one of those requirements. My mother no longer has a basement that I can live in, so I guess it's the whole family isn't even worthy of a leadership of this organization. So, okay, I guess it's all over then. It was fun while it lasted, but...
The Canadians are so easy to capitulate, and you're fantastic. Fantastic people. I don't think I've ever met a Canadian I didn't like. I did meet a couple of Canadian Mounties in Montreal last summer that I didn't like. But I don't think I've ever met a Canadian out of uniform that I didn't like. In Montreal, it's a fucking raucous good time.
Well, Montreal is the best place to get down in Canada. I don't give a fuck what anybody says about Vancouver. Vancouver's nice. It's a beautiful place to live and look around, but Vancouver's gone downhill like a roller coaster. If you want to actually be around people who are smart and people from all over the world, and everybody seems to get along because everybody respects everybody's rights, that's Montreal.
I tell you, I was in Montreal a few days off and on during the student protests against the removal of your tuition assistance.
Yep.
No, shit was going hard in Montreal, man. So, you know, like, they were going, like, Europe style. Fucking Molotov cocktails about. It was excellent.
Well, Quebec is completely different from the rest of the country, and that's because of their French history and even their law, their history of law, their tort law, their common law has a completely different history than the rest of the country. I mean, the rest of the country is based on Britain, and they're based on France. And it is quite different. And
it is. It's a real dichotomy.
Yeah, especially in Montreal, too. I mean, people really take their rights seriously. They don't stand for any bullshit. It's not like everywhere else in North America where it's all, fuck, yeah, that sucks. Yeah, fuck, we should have a tweet storm. Fuck, you know. That's the way everybody else does it because we all came from the British system. Even the Americans came from the British system. They have a different government, but that's where everybody came from. But
good Lord, I knew we were going to have a show.
I need to interrupt you guys. I have a very special announcement. We have crowned a new leader of Anonymous. This person will have to go through his 30 minutes of probation period before he receives his padded Guy Fawkes mask and his state benefits, which is a bag full of weed. We are very proud and honored to have Ron Brynn, the new leader of Anonymous. We know he'll do a great job for us, and we know he'll win every argument that we have against any other group because he will keep interrupting them. Thank you.
fine choice indeed.
Well, that should pretty much run it into the ground for good there. That's a sterling choice because nobody else will ever be able to talk.
Yeah, that's like Black Sheep, right, where they put Farley in charge. That's awesome. Holy mackerel. Hold on, I'm getting into this Canada thing because I actually am pretty fascinated about Canada. I'm 40, right? When I was growing up, there was still sort of this remembrance of the Vietnam War and people being able to go up to wait, Papa, am I blocked? Did I block some? Oh, okay, no, though. You know, it was like Canada was a safe haven, right? Canada was a place of altruism, and they would, you know, give you asylum if you were practicing civil disobedience against the war in Vietnam, and that sort of general perception about Canada continued definitely up until I would say. Post 9/11, right, Glenn?
Well, actually, 2006. That's when Emperor Harper first got his hand on the keys, and that's when everything's changed.
Like, he's backed by.
Pretty much.
Sorry, I heard him.
Pretty much.
Continue.
Pretty much, Stephen Harper talks to George W. Bush, and George W. Bush says, well, you know, I'm your father. And that's how that works.
Yeah. All right, so, like, let's get down to dirty business. Like, what, you know, when you're probably about my age, right?
Bless you. Bless you. I'm older than you.
Well, bless you, sir. Bless you.
you guys are old as fuck. Why are you guys so old?
I can't explain it, man. But it happened.
You guys are so old with your oldness and your gray hair and your old saggy balls and stuff. God, what's going
Rebel,
on?
Rebel, you're an old soul. So, you know, you're not that far behind, brother.
I appreciate that.
I mean, it did, like, the drop-off in Canada and sort of their gravitation towards a more neo-colonialistic approach to politics, like, it's been stark, you know. I've seen it coming here, for years, but I think it hit me when all of a sudden I was like, holy shit, you know, Canada's got massive pollution problems, they're fucking suppressing rights, people who live in the bush, like, you know, they're lost and isolated now. Yeah, so 2006 is when the big oil money moved in, and there was a quick, hey, Dalek, you're on. Dalek,
hey,
you're on.
Going? I'm so sorry.
Oh, don't be sorry. It was good fun. I learned.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry.
He's like, he's terrified. He's like, oh, my God, what did he learn? No, it's good to have you on here. Glenn and I are discussing Canada. Rebel is doing soundboard and commentary, color commentary. Yo, Rebel, seriously, is your ESPN show launched?
What's up?
Is your ESPN show launched?
Yeah, I do, it's not an actual show. I do, weekly news on Syracuse basketball.
Oh, that is killer.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Like, commentary? Like sports casting?
No. They do, the ESPN in my area does, it's called a Syracuse Weekly, and it's like a 2-hour show, and I, you know, scout the next couple games for him, do up an audio thing that kind of explains what Syracuse needs to do to survive the next couple games, what their tournament outlook looks like, what their injury report is, stuff like that, and it's a segment that's played on the show. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Gotta start something, right?
It sounds awesome. Is that and is broadcasting or like being the newscaster? Is that or are you more kind of on the production? Is that more your goal, like being on the production end, or do you want to be the next my man Chris Lord,
Berman?
Chris Berman.
Dude, Chris Berman's freakout was one of the best freakouts I've ever seen.
You know what? I don't even. I have no aspirations of doing. This is going to sound funny. I have no aspirations of doing radio. It's actually something I do for fun because I enjoy it.
Cool.
I own my own business and I do something else that very few people know. But it's just something to do for fun. I do BTR for fun, but I wanted to do. I love Syracuse basketball, so I went down and talked to him, and I knew the guy from the radio station, and he's like, "Fuck yeah, let's do it."
Right on. I'm a Hoyas man myself.
Oh, you faggot!
I knew that was just coming. Man, but there were some fucking awesome games, man.
You're an arch enemy.
Fossil, Patrick Ewing, Michael Jackson. There were some epic battles. Y'all had, what was that little all-star guard?
Allen Iverson.
Well, that was Georgetown. Allen Iverson, man, what an athlete. But
well,
holy shit.
You're talking about Georgetown, right?
Yeah, well, Syracuse. I'm trying to think of Sherm.
Oh, Sherman Douglas.
Yeah, Sherman Douglas. Fucking
Sherman Douglas, there. Ronnie Cicely, Derek Coleman, all those guys. And then even the new crop is, you know, well, not so new. The national championship season 2003, you know, Carmelo Anthony, Jerry McNamara, Quef Dwaney, you know, Edelin, all those guys. But, you know, Syracuse has always had a knack for bringing in really good guards and really good big guys. And this year's team looks amazing. Ennis hit a half-court shot to win the game versus Pitt tonight. It's insane.
Jimmy Boeheim is a power player. He's like an NBA creator.
Oh, yeah. He's one of the coaches that, you know, if you go to Syracuse – and you've got any talent whatsoever, he's going to get the most out of your talent, and you're going to have one of the best shots to move on to the pros. He's pushed a lot of pros on.
Yeah, he really has. He's been there 30 years, an institution. Indeed. Johnny Thompson. John Thompson Jr. coaches Georgetown now, right?
Yeah, John Tompkins, it's Jr., it's John Tompkins, Junior that's there now, and actually John Thompson III is actually the assistant coach, but you know, even
George
he's
Foreman?
George
Foreman's kid's name, like George Foreman the first, second, third, and fourth.
Buy my grill, you grill my stuff up, all the fat runs right off into the fat catcher. Buy my grill.
How many George Foreman grills are in people's closets right now, like sitting there?
I've got one. I never use it. I haven't used it in like 5 years. I got one of those big ones that you could cook like a small child on.
Oh, hell yeah. Put a big porterhouse on there.
Oh, yeah. Because when I think of steak, I think of George Foreman.
Indeed. I think of the palm. But, you know, different strokes.
Poor Glenn. Glenn's staying pretty quiet because he's got hot pockets Foreman right now. He's like, yeah, those George Foremans are out of date. Yeah, no, I don't use those either.
No, actually, I've got an Olympic curling update at the 5N break in women's curling. Canada is leading Denmark 4-3.
Yes, go Canada.
What channel is that on?
Well, see, with my TV provider here, I've got 10 different channels for the Olympics. So, like, when there's a curling draw, I can watch all five games on five channels. I don't miss fuck all.
Fuck.
Dude, that's professional.
I'm watching Ladies Half Pike on NBC, and it fucking sucks.
Well, that shit was live, like, 18 hours ago, man.
I don't think... Here in America, they don't show, they'll show the live shit at like 3 or 4 in the morning, but
yeah,
they don't show it on one channel. Let me see if, I think NBC Sports Network might have some. No, they got some fucking bullshit. All they want to watch during the goddamn Olympics is the goddamn curling in the fucking gym, nigga. Fuck!
I think it's awesome that there's this... Like, there's this consensus that the Winter Olympics sucks except for curling. I think that's excellent.
Curling's amazing. You know why curling's amazing? Especially ladies, female curling. Because when you have to curl, you're either on your knees or you're sweeping. It teaches them the right way.
Only Rebel could make that loop right there. That was genius.
Just saying.
Rebel, did you see the Rebel? Did you see the hockey game today, Canada U.S.?
I did. The fucking Canucks got us by one.
Get used to it.
Get used to it. Did you see the Syracuse game when we made a half court shot to beat Pitt?
Is that what went down today? That's half court shot, buzzer beater.
They fucking threw a half-court buzzer beater. They're down by one, and Ennis threw a half-court buzzer beater and made it. And they're in Peterson Pavilion in Pittsburgh, and the place was going fucking ballistic. And then it went from everyone screaming as loud as possible. He throws up a half-quarter, goes in. The stadium goes silent, and it was louder in my house than it was at that arena. And... I jumped. I was like a foot and a half from the TV. I jumped straight up and almost hit my head on the ceiling. And my ceilings are very tall.
Oh, man. The thrill is the last-minute win. That's awesome. Hey, Dalek, are you there?
Yeah.
What's going on, man? Give us a report from Colorado. All right.
Come in, Dalek. Come in, Dalek. Dalek, come in. Dalek, this is your non-news. Come in.
Your non-news. Yeah. He's been dropping on and off. All right, okay. So, quick, serious discussion. And it may only be the three of us, but things are popping off a little bit on the chaos scale, right? Who jumped in today again? We've got Turkey going pretty good. Ukraine, they're just holding steadfast. Bosnia, they're pretty much off the chain. Somebody else jumped in today, but who I'm missing? Venezuela, thank you. Fucking somebody paid attention to the news. Hell yeah. Venezuela. Can you call in and fill me in on that Venezuela situation? Because I'm too lazy to Google right now.
Drones everywhere.
I just saw my Twitter feed like lighten up with pray for Venezuela. Do we have another Chile situation in there?
I guess
and
so.
And yeah, drones, like literally drones. Now, these are Venezuelan-owned drones, privately owned drones? And are they actually... Go ahead.
No, there's no drones. It's just a little bit of wishful thinking, I guess, from
Action.
Rebel. But
that's,
I mean, but right. ever since Chavez died and Maduro got in, the CIA has been ramping up the right-wing parties to say that, you know, it's time to open up, it's time to sell everything, it's time to let Exxon and McDonald's and Chevron and everybody else come in here because they know what's best. And, you know, Maduro won the election, no problem, but this insurrection from the corporate world has not stopped, and now it's getting out of control. And the Maduro government is running out of patience, pretty obviously, because there are protesters getting killed now. And both sides have weapons in the streets. And it's going to get ugly. It's going to look more like Egypt than anything else pretty soon. And, I mean, you know, the American government has had a hard-on for Venezuela for a long, long time. They just...
long time.
You know, Hugo pissed him off, and the Americans don't forgive. Ask Fidel. Yeah. They don't forgive. And the Venezuelan country is armed to the teeth with state-of-the-art Russian weapons. And, you know, Venezuela has a lot of sympathy and support from the rest of South America, and that doesn't work out good. I mean, look at Chevron in Ecuador, with that huge lawsuit where they're ordered to pay, you know, $28 billion or something. They haven't paid a fucking dime, and they take it back to California to try to appeal it. Like, it's not how it works, guys. But
they were,
you know,
booted.
This is the kind of, Oh, yeah, they were booted. I mean, when Chavez came in, he nationalized everything. He kicked everybody out. And, no, the American government never forgives that to anybody, anywhere. You take away our chance to make profit, we will never leave you alone. But I think it's going to get pretty ugly. And those people, they've been, a whole generation now has been told that they're in a revolution. Just like Cuba, just like North Korea, fight the evil imperialist. And now it's not just nation against nation, it's on the streets. It's class against class. So, yeah, it could get pretty ugly.
I have to break in real quick. I have more breaking news. We are sad to report that we have to let Ron Breinart go as the leader of Anonymous. Unfortunately, he was just caught swatting our own lawyer, Jay Lieberman. So... we unfortunately have to let him go. He did not make his 30-minute probation period. We are currently in search of a new leader. We will have that for you by the end of the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the update.
As an ex-leader, I would like to nominate Nick Knack.
Nomination noted.
I would second that. Just to see the fucking harbinger of chaos come, that would be awesome.
I second that.
So back to Venezuela, like, Glenn, you make an excellent point. If you want to see, like, the past, present, and future of Western capitalism, and Rebel, take in mind, I don't mix politics with friendship. Look at Haiti. Haiti is a perfect example of what Glenn just described in our U.S. foreign policy and their inability to forgive and, you know, and enter into, like, a symbiotic relationship with a nation that has rebelled against them, and whether it's financial or literally, like in the case of Haiti, you know, the first free slave state took a lot of money out of the United States, the nation United States at that point, And
yeah, I try not to look at Haiti because there are way too many dark people there.
Well, it's a pretty hard country to look at. I don't have the same ideological problem, but the dysfunction and the sort of cyclical violence and poverty, makes it hard for me to look at. And it's certainly exacerbated by the fact that on a television screen, when it is all, people of a darker pigment, it does in the subconscious sort of build on that sense of chaos and just absolute sort of breakdown. What the fuck is that where a government can't forgive a nation? Glenn, comment?
Well, the thing about Haiti is they were the first nation to not ask for freedom. They actually fought for it. And they killed the French, and they kicked their ass out. And none of the colonial powers will ever forget that or ever forgive them. They'll never cut Haiti any deals because they kicked Whitey out. And that's never going to change. I mean, they're on their own. They're on their own for good, basically. Nobody's really going to help them. I mean, everybody made such a big shit about Slick Willie Clinton going down there with his big deal for recovery. And then 5 years later, we found out that all the money went to setting up sweatshops so multinational clothing companies could make a fucking killing. They call that relief. They call that assistance. Haiti's been fighting uphill ever since they kicked the French out, and that's over 100 years ago. And they've really haven't gone anywhere.
No. The Western powers have put it right to the neck. Since that insurrection and since that rebellion, there has been no mercy.
No.
Euronon News would like to let everyone know that yesterday we had our official the day we white back, and we will establish in Haiti coming up next month an official day of the day we white back, and we will make sure that the white man is infiltrated back into Haiti. Thank you.
Are you sure you want to do that? It's a quagmire.
You got to send the homeless somewhere.
I nominate Commander X to be president of Haiti.
That is actually a really good fit. I'm not even.
I think so.
Well, we actually just interviewed him for the Leader of Anonymous. He had us hooked. He had us hooked until he took a drug test, and it revealed that he was heavily intoxicated. He was full of prescription pills.
Dude.
And he smelled a little funny, so he has been disqualified.
I just want to clarify here. I just want to clarify. We are talking about Commander X and not Jackal. Is that correct?
Glenn, you and
that's funny. That's funny because we're about to interview him.
No, you're not.
Oh,
so when I first got on the scene, Jackal ran Yan almost exclusively.
Where it got him.
Right. But he's a douchebag, dude. And if anybody ever wants to ask me about my problems with Jackal, you're free to. I know I've mentioned this before, but I'm so boggled how anybody in their right mind would send that man money.
Well, it was a firestorm. I mean, when they started that fundraiser, they wanted $2,000. That's what they asked for, and they got $2,000 in an hour. I mean, when you got a million follower Twitter account, it's not going to take you long to come up with $2,000. Now, if
mostly of 98% of Fox, right?
Well, I mean, if they would have had any balls, they would have let it get to me even $5,000. They would have said, okay, we're closing the WePay. We've got what we asked for. Thank you. But no. They let it keep going, and they let it keep going. And then they got the $20,000, and then Jackal himself says, well, we're going to give 20% of whatever we collect to Free Anons. And that only increased it faster after that. And what did Free Anons get? Sweet fuck all.
Yeah, that is.
So, you know?
See, that's where sort of my conflict comes up, because I support Free Anons. Fuck yeah, I do, you know? You know, I support Worth. I don't know, you know, I don't know what the fuck that means, but I don't want cats in jail for too long for doing something that people who rape other people don't get that time for. You know, it's interesting that conflict does come up in me, like with all the new sort of, you know, the modes, like doxing fucking everybody and their grandmother and everything. I don't know. It's an inner conflict. I just wanted to mention.
Well, I mean, you know, I'll keep with the spirit of what everybody else is doing. I'm not going to say more than I should either. But, I mean, the whole thing that Jackal made that account is bullshit. Plain and simple,
yep.
It's bullshit, you know?
Yep, yeah.
There's a lot of people who know that, but, you know, since we're in the week of non-disclosure agreements and everything else, I'm not going to go off about it because it's not, I don't have the place to come out and say those things. There are a lot better people than me who could do it if they want to, but I mean, the whole thing, it built so fast, and so many things happened in 2011 and into 2012, and it was something that entire generations had never seen before, and it was special, but it crashed like a fucking plane into the 9/11 towers, and... But Jackal survived, you know. But Jack, you know, none must did 9/11. Depends who you ask. So Jackal survived. Well, them too. Jackal survived, and I mean, there's been lots of stories about what happened to that money. Why it takes 10 months to get somebody a T-shirt, I couldn't tell you offhand. And I mean, they've just derailed the whole fucking thing, especially in North America. Because
right.
As far as I can tell, Australia has it together a lot tighter with the original idea of what Anonymous is. Europe has it together. Southeast Asia definitely has it together. Brazil has it together. But yet the U.S., like everything else, insists that they're the leader of the free world in everything, and they are the biggest fucking mess for Anonymous. So
Exactly.
I think you do make a great point, Glenn. Like, International Anonymous, yo, those, you know, they still go hard as fuck, dude, down in Brazil, you know.
Malaysia, Thailand,
Germany.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
We take very large pride in going hard in the paint. Thank you. looks like our final decision has been made. It looks like some hard campaigning by a lot of candidates to take over as the leader of Anonymous, despite his attempts and succeeding in these attempts to raise quite a bit of money with a WePay for his campaign. Jack Renan failed to get into that top position. Here at Your Anon News, we are very proud to announced the new leader of Anonymous, starting his 30-minute probation period, the Jester. Welcome, Thomas Ryan.
Give me a quick update. So this is, like, literally going on. Was Jackal really just bidding for Anonymous News?
Yes, he was.
Like, with a lawyer? Like, back and forth?
Yes, he was. He offered me 2.5 Bitcoin and half a bag of whatever sticky icky is, and unfortunately he did not make the cut. But we are happy to announce that the Jester has made the cut with bribes of throw pillows and stickers from his store, and we are happy to announce that he is the leader of Anonymous. Thank you.
Yo,
hooray!
For
30 minutes.
The Russell League onesie, man. You got to get that going, man. I want a pink one. With
one more thing. In a crisis.
Alex, what's up, baby?
I guess we are a Twitter couple. So far, it's just 10% of a wonderful match.
That is the dumbest fucking app I've ever seen.
Is this an app that has some sort of shallow algorithm that, like, matches people up?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's for...
We're only 10%, Alec? I'm heartbroken. What the fuck? That app sucks.
All right, you know what? We're going to get 90% next Valentine's Day, dude.
Word.
Well, if you'd go in dry, you'd probably get like 70.
Oh, God.
I saw somebody tweet something about that earlier. Man, apps are crazy, right? They reiterate into websites now. Somebody explain that to me, please. That's all apps do.
Well, that's the way you can count your traffic, and that's the way you can try and sell advertising on it. You got to have a fucking web page. That's all
Bingo.
It's about.
That's right. All it did was apps were just a rebranding of at first sort of software, and now they're just a rebranding of fucking link. It's crazy.
Is it weird to see the Jester tweeting "Stay frosty and expect us"? It's so weird.
Dude, that guy is a walking contradiction, man. He has no idea what the hell is going on in his head.
He's a fucking fed.
Fed.
We ask that you cease and desist of any talk of defamation towards Your Non-News or Anonymous, the brand, as trademarked by yours truly. That is false. That is false advertising. That is slander. And we will take you to court with our little Jewish gay lawyer, and we will win. Thank you.
I've heard this, you'll win before, man. You don't scare me. Since I am a leader emeritus, I have status against you suing me. You should have read the agreement a little better.
I'm pretty sure that Sue Basco wrote that up so everyone could understand it. Thank you.
If Basco wrote it, it's not worth putting a cocktail on top of it.
Basco and cock in the same sentence, that will get you another cease and desist.
Well, then she shouldn't have sent me that dick pic of her.
That is slanderous. Everyone knows she's a lesbian.
My internet sucks right now. Huh.
I blame the Jews.
Yeah, I do too. It'll exceed my freaking internet.
What's this I see in the chat here? Spyko's mother is going in for surgery tomorrow. Well, we wish her all the best, Spyko. I hope everything turns out just fine.
Yes, we do. Spyko is a very good friend of ours. And hopefully she gets through it all right. And all the love to you, Spyko, and your mother.
Oh, yeah, Nugga.
Oh, yeah, like via Android app. Oh, man. Look at that. She's going to have her tits cut off. Not trolling. He's not trolling either. Is it? Yeah, I'm going to have to, as the CEO of Anonymous, I'm going to go op fake tits to get your mom a new set of tits after she's done. I will make sure to start up a WePay. I will get that taken care of. I will donate 20% to my hand when they're on her body. And I promise to make that happen.
If there's any money left after Emmy gets through second year of medical school.
You know, this may be heresy in a community as oriented toward tradition as this one seems to be. But, and the generally pleasant position to take is that everybody has a piece of the action. You know, the Hasids know something, the Buddhists know something, the Book of Mormon, there's something there. The mushroom was incredibly ungenerous on this point. It said nobody knows jack shit about what is going on. So it is for you, with your body as laboratory and your mind as worker in that laboratory, to find the way to reflux the alchemical gold. The only experience which counts is your own experience. Everything else is somehow handed down through social structures and political structures. It's irrelevant. If flying saucers were to land on the south lawn of the White House tomorrow, it would not matter to you as much as smoking DMT would if you did that tonight, because that's your experience. Your conviction, you see. And I believe that the rebirth of paganism, the rebirth of archaism, the rebirth of psychedelic shamanism is coming at this moment, because we are going to be involved in a historical meltdown, which will be the equivalent of a species-deep shamanic crisis, in which, as a collectivity, we are going to have to make the journey to the well of worlds and recover and cleanse the collective soul of humanity. We have lost touch with our moral compass because we have lost touch with the Gaian mind. And this is not a metaphor. If you take these neurotransmitters, these exopheromones that connect you up with the natural environment, the Gaian intent becomes known. It's an act of feeling. If we could feel what we are doing, we would stop doing it. But we live in a realm of abstraction, excuses, incredible wealth, incredible levels of pampering and softness lie between us, the upper 5% of the intellectual and material elite on the planet, and the problems. I mean, how many of us have been to Bosnia or Rwanda or Somalia? These things are only images on a dehumanizing screen. If we could feel what we are doing, we would awaken to the mystery of each other and to the mystery of the historical process of recovering what was lost. We don't need this material civilization. We don't need 5 billion people on this planet. We have to think very, very radically.
Boy, Dana Carvey really, really knocked out of the park with the church lady, didn't he? Well, isn't that special with the 5 billion people and all the money and all the food, all the lacking and the homeless and the Haiti and the black people? Absolutely crazy.
I have something to say. I have something to say. Rob Ford.
Ugh.
Yes. DMT, crack, Rob Ford, meth. All.
Jesus Christ.
All right, you're non-news. As to let Jester go, he just tangled down yournonnews.com. These people are never going to fucking learn. Don't they realize they're part of the solution now instead of part of the problem? Jesus Christ. All right, fuck it. The new leader, the supreme leader of Anonymous for the rest of all time is...
Please sweep the air out forward. Please sweep the air out forward. Please sweep the air out forward.
Drum roll, please.
Hey, now. Sorry about that.
Roseanne Barr.
I reinstate the fee. No wife, just a freeze. No B plus. Spyco, what's up, man?
Hello.
Sorry, I was taking a hearty sip of my Glenfiddich. My God, that stuff is like mother's milk. Spyco, welcome, brother. Good to have you. And we've got about 8 minutes left. We're cruising, just getting comfortable on this thing, talking in public. Definitely give a big plug for Revolution Radio Saturday Marathon. Look at Rebel's timeline for the schedule of who's going to be on when, and then after he posts it, we'll all post it. But Porno Pup's going to be on. Dalek and I are going to be on. Rebel's going to be on.
Joe Pritch
is going to be on. Tears show is going to be on, which is awesome. Joe Pritch's show is always awesome. It's going to be a hoot. So all three of you who aren't going to be on the show, fucking tune in.
Hell yeah, dude.
It's going to be good. And Rebel's building something here, and I think it's worth paying attention to. And I salute him. Spyco, you are following my wife's school on Twitter.
That's hot.
Which is one of the best things that happened to me all week. Apparently, I tweeted a Terrence McKenna video at you while I was taking a shit, and I was on my wife's iPod, and while her
in
school,
before he found nudes. Here we go. Continue.
But it's a super school. It's a super cool school, and I think it's awesome. She was like, "Is this one of your friends who's following me? Because all the text is all different, and I'm not sure if it's English." And I was like, "Let me see that thing." I was like, "Oh yeah, that's Spyco. Yeah, he's all good." I think she favorited your retweet, but you know what? That's an awesome thing, and I think you do. I think you follow her. I think you already do. I'm totally legit. I think I've met enough people on here, who know I'm legit. But all right, we're winding down here, and I appreciate you guys all indulging me. Part of this exercise was I'd like to get as comfortable as possible talking like this before Saturday, so this is part of this process. We talked about some cool shit. Glenn, your words pretty much match exactly what I had in my mind, which is always a pleasant experience. And I'm not sure if you're still there, but Glenn knows, right on. Glenn knows his shit. Rebel knows his shit. It's a good crew. One last thing about Venezuela that Glenn brought up. South America is so ripe to reject completely sort of the yoke of the days of the banana fruit company and sort of that whole Banana Republic image. And if any country gets, you know, gets rolling in South America, it could certainly snowball into something significant. You know, Brazil is ready to pop. Man, they must be happy in Argentina up on the gauchos, right? Like eating good meat, you know, living like cowboys. You don't hear too much from Argentina.
You're not supposed to. Argentina's had some pretty wicked. They've had some pretty wicked inflation.
Allende type regime down there, just nastiness. Is that why we don't hear anything?
Argentina's been put through some pretty wicked inflation the last year, and it's been pretty much external. People fucking with their value of their currency. And they're being put under pressure, too. I mean, the reason that Brazil was able to stand up against the NSA and the spying that the Canadians did against their businesses is because they belong to BRIC, Brazil, Russia, India, China. I mean, they're their own separate little group now, and they can't be fucked with like the rest of them can.
No, they really can't be.
You know, and that's a threat. That's a threat to the order. So we'll see what happens. But, I mean, you talk about Venezuela. How many people, Rebel, do you ever buy gas from Citgo?
I try not to. I try to get it from American gas station.
Okay, there you go. You know. How many people in the U.S. don't know who owns Citgo?
Chavez.
That's you Chavez. Got it.
You know, a few years ago, Chavez actually supplied all the heating oil for the subsidy program in New England, or a portion of it. I shouldn't say all, but a portion of it.
Yeah.
Through Citgo.
Oh, yeah.
As a slap in the face to, at the time, it was Bush. You know, one of the most amazing things that I've witnessed in contemporary society and was the coup on Chavez that he then uncooed. That was a pretty remarkable. Well, we got 90 seconds. We're winding down, but that was like a pretty remarkable movement, you know, by Chavez. And Chavez is not a good person. He has plenty of blood on his hands. You know, more than I'm comfortable with. But as far as like a sort of rebuke of an intention by an empire, it was pretty boss. Saturday marathon Revolution Radio. Tune in. We're all going to be prime. It's going to be a hoot. Rebel, I can't thank you enough. And have a great night. Be easy. And think good thoughts. And Rebel, keep having fun with that Yan shit, man.
Because that's right. And listen to the BTR marathon, and we'll fucking fly planes into your houses. Woo!
Good show, guys. Good night, everybody.
Hey,
good night, everybody. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Dalek, let's work on that 10%, bro. Come on, man. Yo,
all right,
Rebel, thanks, brother. Much
that
respect.
Was hell of a show, dude.
Shout out to the Ashuns, thank you so much. Spyco, of course, man, thanks for tuning in at the last. Awesome to have you. And I think that's about all we had. But thanks for the practice, guys, and indulging me. And great talk. Peace.
See you later. Oh, wait, are we going to still kind of... Are we still on after hours?
Yeah, we can be on after hours.
All right.
So did the show end on the web?
I think we have 15 seconds.
I see. Well, we'll see if BTR gives you overtime then.
All right, here
it is. Yeah, 4, 3, 2, 1. Sorry, I'm jumping between pages. Glenn, you're an electrician. You know,
yep.
It doesn't surprise me. I'm a cook. I work with my hands. We have a lot of overlapping views. You know, I read your tweet. It's interesting.
No, I've been a union man for 30 years, and I'm what they call a master electrician here.
Yeah.
Which means I'm one step down from an engineer. I can, like, a master electrician can do stuff that an engineer can't do. Like, an engineer designs stuff, makes the prints, makes the specification, and then they have a stamp. So they're legally stuck to that specification, you know, that job they created. But when it comes time to get the power turned on or off, an engineer can't do that. A master electrician does that. When it comes time to pull the permit to actually do the work, the engineer doesn't do that. The master electrician does that, you know. So, I mean...
I do.
I've got a pretty shitty view of the categories of people like engineers, because the only electrical engineers I've ever met that are worth a fuck are the guys who became journeyman electricians first and then went to university, because if you do that, you get a year knocked off the program. It's a 3-year, not a 4-year deal. And those are the only guys... Those are the only guys I've ever come across that are any fucking good at their job. Because all these little quimbies that become engineers, they've never gotten dirty in their lives. They have no idea how anything actually works. Some of the shit they design, you think they've been taking acid with Timothy Leary. Like, how the fuck are we supposed to make this work?
We're not.
But,
like...
you know, They sit in their offices and dream stuff up and click their mouse and look through product catalogs. Oh, this would be cool. Let's put some of these in. And, you know, they just have no idea how shit actually works and how it fits together. Like, I can remember one time I told an engineer that electrons are not something you roll into a ball and throw across the ceiling. They don't fucking get there that way. You know? These guys just have no concept of the reality of things. And this is through society. It's top down.
But that disconnect is like almost universal between, you know, between the people in management and the people who actually put the fucking rubber to the road. You know, it's the same in my business. You know, the biggest nightmare, like, a good line cook can have is when the chef or the owner comes on the line and tries to sort of interfere with the streamlined process that line cook has come up with to get this food out at the time at which it needs to come out. You know, and the executive chef or whomever, whatever title they like to use, they have no concept of what it takes to put the dish that they conceptualized and designed, how many steps it takes, you know, how many pans it takes. These are all, like, real life factors you have to consider, you know, if you want to run a good restaurant, you know, and I consult a bit, and it's incredible, like, the lack of connection between the conceptual and design part of the process and the execution part of the process. And you're right. I think that scales up to government, to the World Bank, to the IMF, you know, all those organizations, those huge, you know, organizations have people on the ground who in their hearts have good intention, who want to make the world a better place. But the disconnect between them on the ground, the boots on the ground, and the people writing policy is such that it's just, you know, it's the block, it's, you know, you're pissed in the wind. But I can certainly empathize with what you're saying in the electrician field. You know, and quite frankly, I would hire an electrician over an engineer in a heartbeat. And that goes across the board too.
Yeah, it does. But I mean, part of the game is that you can't do that. You have to have these people. Otherwise,
you have that stamp.
Yeah, you have to have the stamp, or you have to have this person to sign this piece of paper, or, you know, it's, you know, they run the show, and they make sure that you can't cut them out of the picture. And
right.
It worked, like you said, it works that way across the board, top down. I mean, another example is a few years ago, here where I live, they built 9 schools in 1 year. And it was, you know, the government built them and whatever. They were basically cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Yep.
Two general contractors got the 9 schools. One got 4 of them, one got 5 of them. One general contractor was union, and all their superintendents were carpenters with 25 years plus experience. That's who ran the jobs. The other company was non-union, and they hired these little pimples who were not even 30 years old, but they had a 2-year piece of paper in construction management.
Oh, God.
Wow.
And these little fuckers were trying to tell 60 to 80 tradesmen on a site what they were going to do, when they were going to do it, and it better be done or else this or that. And it was a complete fucking circus. Just a complete circus, you know. But then if you went to the other schools where the actual people with experience were running them, there were meetings, there were reviews. Can you do this if we do this first? And, you know, everybody talked and everybody got along and there was no problem. But yet these other companies, they hire these fucking punks who know nothing, but they have their piece of paper, so they're qualified. And they tell these
fuckers. No, they're not.
You know,
no,
and they tell these fuckers that if you get it done this far before completion date, and if you can squeeze the plumber for 4%, or if you can do this or you can do that, oh, you're our fucking boy. We're going to keep you. You're going to go places. And these guys are dumb enough to fucking buy it. You know? These fucking kids, they buy it. And then when the end of the job comes, well, thanks. It's been nice working with you. Fuck off.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And with no protection afforded by belonging to a union. It's like, all right, great, thanks. Fuck off.
Well, no protection for anything because they don't even have a ticket in anything. They have a fucking 2-year piece of paper that says management, quote unquote. Well, you just got fired for your management, so I hope you're still paying for that 2-year piece of paper as you've been fired. You know, it's ridiculous. They've hollowed out every piece of the puzzle they can to make more money for the people at the top. But yet everybody
Harper,
who fills
is Harper,
these...
mounting any sort of offense against unions in Canada?
Oh, big time. Big time. It's been going on for years. Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, yeah. Ending on...
Go ahead.
One side
of my brain, you know, I'm so pro-union. Like, it makes such sense to me. But then the arithmetic, at least in the United States, it's hard to reconcile the numbers, you know, of how realistically unions are going to be taken care of from a fiduciary standpoint, like that arithmetic doesn't add up, right?
Not at all, dude. Not at all.
But yet at the same time, I'm a huge believer in work in the right in the rights of workers. You know, so what's so where do we go? Like, what's the you know, what's the new plan? If something's not sustainable, and I don't like that word, it's kind of a, you know, buzzword, but if something is, if the money's going to run out before, you know, a decade to support, like, the construct of the union system, then to just ignore the problem doesn't help anybody. So how do we fix it? And I know that's a broad. I know that's a broad question, but
well, the thing is, it never used to be that way. I mean, you look back to what supposedly is the Golden Generation after the Second World War. Eisenhower was in. I mean, the economy never exploded like that before or since, and you look back at those times, and that's when the middle class was established, and union membership in the U.S. was like 65-70%, and everybody still made money. The government was not trillions of dollars in debt.
Right.
Everything worked just fine.
Okay.
It's just that the people at the top just wanted more.
Okay.
And I mean, that's been going on since the 70s now. The people at the top want more. It's just like this shit about we have an obligation to our shareholders. Who
right.
the fuck are these people? They're people with money that put it into a market and they get back a piece of paper. Now, they are supposed owners of this corporation. What do they do for it? Fuck all. Not a thing.
Fuck all. We both know that like that's simply a default for corporations to hide behind, like, we're beholden to our to our board and our shareholders, and if we don't act and behave in a way that clearly and without question illustrates that we're going after profit and nothing is standing in the way of that. That is such a bullshit excuse. You know, it's such a convoluted justification for CEO greed.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely, and it's not just the CEOs either, because the only way it's gotten this way is because government has enabled it. And government enables it because members of government vote for it. Members of government vote for it because they're lobbied. And they're lobbied with all that money that's being stolen from the workers. It's just a vicious little fucking circle.
Glenn, when you were born, less than 5% of people who served their government, and I'm not sure about the stats for Canada, but this is in the United States, made less than $200,000 a year, and that is prorated for inflation. And now, I think like 70% of people who serve in Congress, the Senate, are millionaires. So the moat behind becoming part of our political construct has gone from serving the public to becoming wealthy or augmenting your wealth through, connections and then, insider trading and insider dealings and what have you.
And here's one thing. I mean, it's not when the politician's career starts, it's when it's ending that they become millionaires. So
oh,
it's kind of crazy.
But they establish, Dalek, you make a great point, but they establish those ties and those connections while they're in, you know, while they're in office. And that's where, you know, the wheel gets greased.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And that's where, you know, when politicians are on their last year or two in office and they've decided that they're not going to run again or they're not eligible to run again, yeah, they go to fucking, you know, the most relevant lobbying firm that fits them, and they say, hey, you know what, I'm going to throw you this bone, but you know what, you're going to give me a job for 5 years after I retire, after I end my term. And, you know, that's nepotism. And that's a hard cycle to break. It's hard to stick a fucking spoke, you know, a stick in the spokes of that wheel. Because it's very hard to find an entrance point, you know, because the system is so closed. And one thing that causes me anxiety is that the system is becoming more closed, not more open, you know.
Oh, definitely. I mean, this whole story of the American dream, this upward mobility, it doesn't exist anymore. There was a time it did. You know, there was a time it did, but not anymore. I mean, there's just, it doesn't happen. And I think another problem that you guys have got down there is with the House of Representatives 2-year terms. That means the campaigning and the fundraising never stops. It
Dude,
just never
so
fucking
money,
stops.
Man.
You know, never. It never stops. And you wonder why the House gets fuck all done. It's because the day after they're elected, they're lining up money for 2 years down the road. They don't have time to actually sit there and be a legislator. I got to make sure I don't lose this fucking job. I
gotta
got to get back
it,
out
man.
There. You know, it's insane. It's fucking
insane. And you know, it's the chicken and the egg sort of thing, because the politicians create that sort of immediate urgency, or has collective sort of attention span created it, where the day after they're elected, I mean, it's nuts. Our political cycle, you know, it mimics the 24-hour news cycle. Like, it's just getting shorter and shorter and shorter, man.
Yep. I mean, but then on the other hand, the Senate has 6-year terms, and the president is 4. Like, what the fuck?
Dude, you're Canadian.
You know?
Do you know that less than 1% of people in this country even know the House term versus the Senate term?
Well,
that's
our
big
problem.
That's a part of it right there. Like, you know it. You know. That's an offset ratio. Like, that ratio right there, 2 versus 6, that's a guarantee for never achieving any sort of equilibrium or any sort of stability from which, like, true camaraderie, or that's the wrong word, but true bipartisanship, you know, can come about. And people in this country have no fucking idea that they vote for one guy on the same ballot for 2 years and another guy for 6. They don't know.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's elementary shit, man.
Yeah, it's insane, but I mean, again, this goes back to the 70s. This is when the school curriculums all started getting fucked over, and I mean, even up here, when I went, I had this discussion last night with somebody in the area here where I live, and when I went to school in grade 7 was the first time we learned about government, and then we covered it again in high school. And it was part of everybody's curriculum. Everybody learned it. Now in the schools here, they teach none of it in junior high. And then in high school, it's an option. So if you want to go through 12 years of school with finding out how the parliament runs in Canada, how the provincial legislatures run in Canada, you can do it. And it's not an issue. No problem. You know, if you want to be stupid, hey, we got a program for that. We'll help you out.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, oh yeah, I know that. I know that.
Like, program is the path of least resistance. And
yeah.
And that's ensured, you know, by the administrations of schools that if you want to absorb the least knowledge while you're here, we have a path for you. No worries. You know, you'll graduate. You're not going to learn anything, but you can go put a fucking widget together somewhere. And to seek out the other path, right, where you're challenged and you learn to think analytically and critically and in a linear fashion, you have to be like an exceptional type of youngster to seek that path out. At least from what I can glean from schools today. Like, you'll be encouraged to take the path of least resistance as opposed to be encouraged to take the AP classes or to go ahead and take that extra high school history class, you know.
And the other issue, especially down there, something that's not as widespread up here, but they're trying, is if your family's rich, you're not going to public school anyway. You're going somewhere where you learn a lot more than the kids at public do because your family has money. You're going to get a better opportunity. Your dad may have a business that he wants you to take over, and he doesn't want an idiot that went through the public system taking over his business. So we have a program for that too, but it costs money. So,
yeah.
You know, those that belong, get in. Everybody else can fuck themselves. You know,
that sort of paradigm of nepotism goes unabated in this country as well. You know, completely. You know, if you're white and wealthy, forget about it. You don't have much to worry about. You know, put it on cruise control. Don't get arrested more than three times. But, you know, that's like the parental instructions for the wealthy. I got to get up for work. God damn. but it's been a pleasure.
Yes. I got one more short little thing to say. Now,
okay.
you remember the Coke commercial for the Super Bowl with America the Beautiful in different languages?
Yeah. Yes.
And all the Tea Party freaks were getting so wound up and all that shit.
Yeah.
Okay, now, Michelle Bachmann, the poster woman for batshit crazy politics, on February 3rd on Fox News, she actually said this: if English was good enough for Jesus when he wrote the Bible, it should be good enough for Coke. And this is somebody elected to your federal government.
Jeez.
Like,
I know, man. We have more fundamentalist Christians in our government than there are jihadis in the Afghan, Pakistan, name it.
Man. Iran, yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Mean,
we
have Mahdis, just like Iran does. We totally
But the
do.
Thing is, the thing is, though, this crackpot wants to pass herself off as a Christian and says, when Jesus wrote the Bible... Like, holy fuck.
Dude, I'm that so is... right there with you. That's all I say when I see, like, the only politician I can really honestly say, and I'm biased, of course, but that when I do see them on television speaking publicly, first of all, I think it's a Monty Python sketch. That's my immediate, like, reaction. I'm like, this is a sketch. This is a gap. And then, you know, my mind kind of just becomes blank. And it's the rhetoric. You know, I wish I was that dumb. It's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, I'm, you know, but what I was getting at was Bernie Sanders from Vermont. A little biased because I'm a Vermonter, but Bernie Sanders is actually a pretty good guy.
Yes, I agree.
He is a declared socialist, but he's also an egalitarian. And right now, he's calling people out by name, you know, for the NSA thing. And that's unprecedented in my lifetime observing American politics. He's going hard right now. And, you know, I don't believe in God.
Bernie's not running for re-election this year either, is he?
No, he's not. But this might be a move to the. He might make a move to the White House. I hope.
Well,
he
you does. Think any? You think any money's going to support him on the Democrat ticket? There's no way.
Not after this. Not after this unabashed assault, which I totally support that he's making. No, I don't. I think you're 100% right.
No, I like Bernie Sanders. He's always been a good man. He's always had the right idea. And the other one, she ain't perfect, but considering what you have to select from, Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, yeah. Elizabeth Warren is a very sensible woman.
She came from a working family. She worked her way through Harvard and everything else. She's accomplished everything that half these fuckers say they accomplished. She's actually done it.
Right on. And she's smart. I mean, man, that woman is bright. Holy mackerel.
Oh, yeah. I like Elizabeth Warren. But
we put women like Hillary Clinton up.
Ugh. You know?
And
I wouldn't.
I'm as close as you get to a feminist when you're a male. You know, essentially, like, part of my ethos is that we've completely abandoned the feminine, and I mean that in sort of like an energy sense, and because of that. And that rejection of the feminine, we find ourselves in a perpetual state of war and conflict and aggression. But when you put women like Hillary Clinton, who all they do is mimic the behavior of what we categorize as alpha males, that's a grotesque misrepresentation of true powerful women, you know, like you said, like Elizabeth Warren, and there is a new school of women coming up, specifically under the Obama administration, who consider Hillary Clinton a mentor and sort of an example to strive for, like Samantha Power, sort of like this amalgamation of like a tiger mom and you know, like a butch lesbian, like, you know, wow, that, sorry, that got a little out.
No, but
you know what I'm getting at. It's like the wrong role models are out there.
Yeah, but it's just a mask. I mean, there's no difference between Hillary and W at the end of the day. They're both
right,
for sale.
That's what I'm getting at. I agree 100%.
Yeah. They're both for sale. They're both going to do what's right for the imperialist corporate world. And however they present themselves is just how they present themselves. I mean, they're no different. It's just same shit, different pile, you know? I mean, at the time when Bill Clinton was in, yeah, things improved and this and that, and there was a little bit of harmony and things seemed to get done more, but at the end of the day, it was Clinton who opened up the casinos for Wall Street. It was Clinton.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know? You know? I mean, this is the problem.
Clinton had a unique advantage of coming into office on like a high note that had nothing to do with him. You know, I don't know what it had to do with. It had to do with maybe he fucking the moon for all I care. You know, and he wrote it and he kicked shit down the road and he covered up fucking sin with volume. And now we reap what he sowed. No question, bro.
Yeah.
Glenn, you're 100% right. You know,
yeah.
Savings and loans. You know, that structure right there is the precedent for, you know, for basically the Ponzi scheme that fucking keeps us in perpetual debt. It was busted because fucking they connected it to Contra Coke money. Had they not, I mean, it's still the, I don't use banks. That's a lie. I do, my family uses banks. I personally don't use banks. My wife is far more traditional than I am, but she's still a revolutionary at heart. She's just in the education field, so you have to have pretenses. Yeah, man, it's crazy the stuff that has been perpetrated on us, and I'm as guilty as any. But so far, we just kind of let it pass, and we get so distracted with work, you know, and stress, dealing with our egos, and reconciling emotions, you know, with reality, then at the end of the day, it's really hard to fucking mount any sort of fight.
That's by design. That's by design.
Oh yeah, no question. But that's you know. But that doesn't mean we're not going to.
Well, I know, but I mean, you know, I mean, up here in Canada, I mean, I have no idea anymore what it's going to take for people to wake the fuck up.
You guys,
you know,
have
a
population density issue for, you know, I mean, this is just my perception, but there's not very many places in Canada where there's, you know, where there's like a critical mass of people. There's enough, you know, but I know. I don't know. We're not going to wake up. We're not going to wake up. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn inwards, you know, my land and do that and not worry about the rest. But I don't think that's really a viable option.
Well, no, it's not. It's defeatist because, I mean, the world just doesn't work that way anymore.
It is.
And even, you know, and even if all the controls were removed that keep it that way, then what's left? People don't have the means or the knowledge to replace all those controls. You know?
No.
Like, I mean, they fucked this over good. They fucked this over really good. And, I mean, you talk about Canada. Well, it's the second biggest country in the world for landmass, but the economy and the population is equal to California.
Yeah.
You know, so...
That's pretty staggering. That,
well, I mean, that's the only reason I see that we haven't been fucked over harder sooner is because
sure.
there's just not an, there's not enough here to get the attention, you know?
Right.
But
right.
now that it's, we've got... Now that we've got our Republicans in power here, they're changing that as quickly as possible.
And the shale, man. Shale. The shale fields you guys have.
Well, the tar sands, you mean?
Yeah.
The I lived in the center of that area for over 7 years.
Oh, my God, man.
I've put in years in those oil sands plants. I know them inside out. I have a lot of things from there I'm not supposed to have. And
wow.
this is one of the biggest reasons that not too many people on Twitter want to argue with me about the oil sands. Because I've been there. And I've lived there. And I know exactly what the fuck's going on.
What kind of
argument
did you mount for pro tar sand oil?
Well, even 10 years ago, even 10 years ago, the way they were going about it.
Outside of affiliation with, you know, direct affiliation with an oil company, it's like, it's hard to find rationale, unless you're profiting directly, to pursue tar sand oil, right?
Well, the way even 10 years ago, the way they were going about it, it wasn't as crazy as it is now. I mean, if the rate of development was cut back to maybe a fifth of what it is now, it's manageable. And 10 years ago, there was really only two big plants up there. And then Shell showed up. And then ExxonMobil showed up.
Yep.
And then everybody showed up. And for a while, government was like, no, we're good. We're good for now. You know, you're next, but you're waiting. And what's happened since Harper has come in is all that shit is taken away. Now it's a free-for-all.
Yeah.
Get as much as you can, as quick as you can, which does nothing to help us in any way, because all of a sudden they keep yelling and screaming that we're short X amount of skilled people. Well, that's not true either, but this is what they keep saying, and that's why there's all these temporary foreign workers in this country now. Meanwhile,
right.
unemployment here is higher than it was in 2008. When the crash hit. Like, this government has done fuck all to fix anything, except...
Like, those oil rigs, like, they do more than just degradate the environment. Like, they degradate, like, the whole community. Like, there's,
Definitely.
People live in their trucks for a season, like, things become so transient that there's... in any sense of, like, permanent community is sort of dissolved.
No, that's by design, you know, because the people at the top, they're in the same place. They're going to their gated homes at night. Ain't no difference for them. They're making even more money. Fuck, this is great. Let's keep this up. We doubled production and I tripled my money. So let's double production again. Fuck, this is awesome. They never come up. They never go up there. They're never going to live there. They don't give a fuck. And this is the problem. And government lets them do it because it works for government, too.
Right.
I mean, all this propaganda...
Shocking. Like, I imagine most of these, you know, oil execs, they have kids, they have grandkids, you know?
Yeah, but they're never going to be anywhere near this shit.
No, right. True. But, like tar sands, you know, Toronto, Calgary, it's had such a huge impact on the environment up there in such a short period of time that it, you know, and I hope is much different than reality, but it's like, you know, things can get like road warrior pretty quick when you're ruining water tables and
mm-hmm.
you know, and like creating generational environmental hazards.
Yep.
And
but I mean, if
you know, Pop talked about maybe doing a show on Fukushima.
Yeah.
You know, the sort of the cognitive dissonance that's going on in Fukushima, it's hysterical. It's hysterical in one way, and it's absolutely terrifying in another. If I slow down enough to think about it, it's fucking terrifying, you know?
Well, I'm awfully glad I live on the east side of the Rockies, I'll tell you that.
You're goddamn straight. You know, we're talking about hot particles. We're not talking about passive radiation. We're talking hot particles, little mini suns. That's what they
yep.
are. They're mini
yep.
fucking suns. And right now, if you live from about Portland all the way down to San Diego, you're inhaling between 1 and 2 hot particles a day. And that's not conjecture. That's not speculation. That's not conspiracy. That is reality. And hot particles are little atomic fucking motors. And they're going to make you sick. And
yep.
and the cognitive dissonance, you know, between the actuality and the presentation, it's cause for concern, you know? It's like, you talk about waking up. You know, Taj, like Taji, the co, I was really involved with, you know, trying to do something about that a few years ago. And then Fukushima happened, and my sardonic sort of dark side was like, ain't that a bitch? Y'all gonna die.
Well, the thing is, I mean, I remember in the 80s when Chernobyl happened, and there was just this fucking avalanche of condemnation on the Soviets. Like, holy fuck, man. What a bunch
sure.
of fucking idiots, you know?
How could they do this?
How could they do this? Oh, my God, how irresponsible.
Right.
Well, Chernobyl's like a fucking tenth of Fukushima. And those are General Electric reactors that were designed poorly from day fucking one. And I don't see no concrete sarcophagus around there. I don't see fuck all. They haven't even got the fucking fuel out yet. You know?
We're in unprecedented territory with Fukushima. We have three cores that have melted through the concrete floors of their encasement and
yep.
are currently melting through the earth.
Yep.
And nobody knows, even people who, you know, tell the truth about Fukushima know where those cores are going to stop melting. I don't know where the fuck they're getting this footage from number four that they're showing on the mainstream media. They've got these beautiful, pristine, green, lime green cranes and all the walls are intact. I'm pretty sure I watched number four blow up.
It's probably all archive footage. It's not even fucking real.
Or they're just down the road. There's another 120 miles south of Fukushima. There's another. There's like a sister plant, and it didn't get crushed like Fukushima. That's where I think they are. I mean, it's amazing that the media can think that they can show that. Nobody's going to be like, wait a second, hold on. I have a live feed to Fukushima right now from NHK, and I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at reactor building number four. The thing has no walls. There's a bunch of gnarled, mangled fucking metal sticking out of something that looks maybe 20 feet off the ground, and that's a live feed. And now on my other screen, you're showing me a tour of number four that apparently happened 24, maybe 72 hours ago. And you expect me to buy that, or maybe not me. And then the most shocking thing is 99% of the people do buy it. No problem, you know. I mentioned Fukushima, like, you know, around, you know, the part of my life that my other foot is in. People have no fucking idea what I'm talking about. They look at me cockeyed, like I'm Alex Jones or something, you know, and I'm like, I'm not talking about the Anunnaki and fucking the New World Order. I'm talking about the fact that we all watched a GE-designed nuclear power plant explode on live TV, and nobody believes it, you know? I mean, I'm an insomniac. I happened to be on, you know, some news channel when the earthquake hit, and then I was still on when that tsunami started to come in. The scale of it boggled my mind. It was like trying to count grains of sand on a beach, man. When I saw that wave come in and hit the airport, and there was some sort of scale, right, where there were these 747s and terminals just like floating down the fucking runway. I was like, this is definitely the biggest natural disaster of my lifetime happening right now. And there's going to be huge things that happen because of this. And then Fukushima unfolds. And, you know, that's a big concern, but something we all got to keep our eyes on. And I'm not trying to be alarmist, you know. Glenn, it's factual, man.
It's factual. I mean, and I think the problem is,
I have to worry about it, but that's not the way my brain operates so much.
Well,
you know what I mean?
The problem is that this 98% of the fucking population doesn't want to know the truth because there's no answer.
Right.
And that's not good. That doesn't give me happy feels. So we don't want to know that. You know?
Me neither.
We don't want to know that because that's not cool. It's going to be harder for me to go spend money I don't have if I know that caribou and shit in Alaska are turning up dead with huge open sores on them, but yet it's not radiation, you know? And entire schools of fish are turning up in the ocean floating dead with their skin burst open and these fucking lesions all over them, but it's not radiation. You know, I mean, people, it's almost like the movie. You can't handle the truth, you know,
right.
And it's true. It's true.
Right. It is
people,
true. And I mean, I have direct examples, like, you know, my sister, who she and I are super close, you know, she has two beautiful kids, you know, like pretty much kind of the classic American life, you know, and I'm not a pusher of ideology. That's not my job. You know what I mean? Like, I don't push my shit. But just observing and being with her, you know, and watching. And there have been a couple of times up late at night where she has said point blank, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Because what am I going to do? I have two kids, you know? And at what point are we going to, you know, transition from this stage of